The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, back from his, I was going to say vacation. It wasn't vacation. Back from his ailments.
Vacation.
Yeah, it was vacation before that. He's back in the saddle. We appreciate him being here. Coming up later this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We will talk to Jason about all things baseball and beyond. But we love welcoming this gentleman onto the show. He is typically with us weekly during college football season, and everybody already clamoring for his long-awaited college football season win totals segment, which is coming up not today, but later this month. But he joins us now to talk other things sports betting. How you doing, Bob?
Good. Speaking of win totals, I just finished my 200 hours of college football analysis to dial in my ratings. I
Whoa.
Set those over like 20 days. So, now just going over all the teams and ran the simulation and seeing which teams I'm going to consider for win totals. Usually I'll run the simulation and I'll look for the ones that are off. I'm like, okay, well, why am I different from the market? And I'll kind of dig back into the notes that I had on the team. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I went a little too far with this projection, so maybe I'll dial that back towards the market a little bit. You know, and then that's sort of adjust the ones that I'm off on just to see if there's a reason that I'm off, or if maybe I was too enthusiastic or too negative on a team in a certain aspect of their game. And then I'll kind of, you know, usually I'll tend toward the market a little bit. And if I still think I still have value, then those are the ones I end up releasing for win totals. And as you know, those have been really good over the years.
Really, really good over the years. I know you also do something else, which I know in retrospect frustrates you a little bit, but at the time that it's happening, you're okay with, which is sometimes you'll come up with, you know, over 20 of these that you feel are playable. And then there's a little voice in your head, correct me if I'm wrong, that says, boy, that's a lot of season win totals. Maybe I should dial it back and only give out these. And then you'll usually come at the end, you'll be like, oh, well, I went 10-0 or whatever it is. I'm just making up a number now. But I would have gone 19-3, right? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. I was 11-0 on the ones I released. I think the ones I gave out on your show were 6-0. I mean, obviously, whatever segment I gave out, all won on your show. And I looked back, and I thought that was the year after the COVID year. So that was 21. I thought, well, maybe my ratings are off because there weren't that many non-conference games last year. So instead of releasing 23, which were the ones that qualified, I'll just release the top 11. Well, if I would have released 20-3, I would have been 20 wins and 3 losses. So I would have been 20-3 instead of 11-0. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with 11-0, but it was kind of like, oh, I could have released more of those. Last year, you know, I was just looking at last year, and I was 8-3 on the win totals last year. I was trying to see what I would have been had I released more, and I think I would have added 4-3 last year, so it wasn't quite as bad. I think the ones I passed on that qualified, I was 4-3 on, so it wasn't quite as bad as passing on 9-3. But but yeah, usually I should be playing more of these. But this is kind of
your thing also on a daily basis though, right? Because you, for those who are familiar with you, you rate your picks by stars, right? 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star. You also have opinions, which are your way of saying it's a lean, I'm not playing it, but that sort of thing. And hasn't it been?
Well, I do play the strong opinions. I have leans and I have strong opinions. I consider like half a unit, you know, sort of thing. But those have been good over the years. Like you're saying, 54.3% in football over many, many years. In basketball, they're 54.4% in college basketball. They've been really good. So, yeah, I mean, people bet them.
I guess my question then is, do you ever foresee yourself opening that up, or are you still going to always err on the side of caution and being conservative about it because you know how bettors think. Once you open it up, it's going to be the year where they stink, right?
Right. You know, yeah, it's sort of like that. I'm conservative by nature. And I look for reasons not to bet a game rather than looking for reasons to bet a game, which a lot of people are like, oh, that's a good reason to bet a game. Well, you know, I look for reasons not to bet a game. And that sort of keeps me off things as, you know, I consider best bets. And then they go in the, you know, opinion range, which, like I said, still wins. Yeah, I had a friend that said I'm a better handicapper than I am a gambler, you know, because I tend to, you know, my, you know,
yeah,
he's
maybe
like,
that's
you need
true.
To trust your handicapping more, like trust it. Like, and I always kind of come back, like, I can't be, this is back in the day when I was, you know, when I was way ahead of the market, I like, I can't be that much better than the market. Well, yeah, actually I was, and I still am. And maybe I need to trust that more, but I always think like, well, the market's going to catch up. No, it hasn't so far. So, maybe I should be betting more games, but I think I just kind of feeling, maybe I have too much respect for the market, and maybe I should have a little less respect for it and trust my numbers more, because I've been doing this 37 years and I've been winning, you know, not every single year, but, you know, for the most part, every, you know, almost every year. So maybe I should trust myself more, and yeah, and that's something I need to work on, because even college football, the leans I put on the free, I put free analysis on my website every Friday night and Saturday morning, and those things have been 58% the last 2 years, the leans.
That's
so,
yeah, that's at drbobsports.com. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bob. Finish your thought.
Yeah, so it's just, it is a little frustrating, but I did go over my college football math model results in recent, you know, like the last 10 years. Like, okay, what should the threshold be for making something a bet? And so I'm planning on opening up a little bit more this year. I mean, last year I was 40-21 in college football best bets. I mean, that's phenomenal. That's, you know, second or maybe the third best win percentage I ever had in a college football season. 40-21, 65% or 66% or whatever, but I could have been better on a unit basis had I just released more plays. So I think I'm going to try to, you know, not be as conservative this year and just try to, you know, fire a little bit more when my indicators stash it. So,
all right, Bob moves when Bob releases college football bets. It does move the market. Sometimes it'll move back, but he still to this day moves the market on that. So we're gonna you're gonna come on. Was it next week for season wins? Is that what we're planning on?
Yeah, we can do Thursday or Friday.
Okay,
yeah,
Thursday or Friday. Let's do that. So let me just ask you this then, from as a general game to game handicapping thing this year. Obviously, the biggest rule change, and this is huge, is that, you know, we've grown up to this day, not only grown up but our whole lives really. It's been the clock stops on first downs in college football. Well, that rule has changed. With the exception of the last 2 minutes of each half, the clock will now move on first downs. What are the adjustments that you have made with your model on this?
Yeah, you know, when I first started looking into this, I've been hearing, oh, maybe 2 points. You know, I heard a few different people. It's like, well, maybe more than that. And I started kind of fooling around with, you know, how many first downs are there in a game, you know, within the 2 minutes of each half. And, God, how many of those was the guy run out of bounds? I don't know. I'm sort of guessing from my football knowledge, like, well, how many of those first downs is the guy running out of bounds? Like, what percentage of that is, you know, and how many times will this affect, you know, first downs where they don't run out of bounds? How many plays will that affect? And I thought, I kind of came up with my own thing, and I came up with 4.4 plays from scrimmage fewer. And I said, all right, I'm going to stick with that. 4.4 plays from scrimmage fewer than last year. And then I read something from a guy from the rules committee, from the NCAA rules committee. He said that it would reduce the number of plays by 7 plays per game, according to Steve Shaw, secretary editor of the rules committee. Now, 7 plays per game, that could be extra points, could be punts. That's not like, so I said, well, maybe that's, you know, 6 plays from scrimmage. Five and a half to 6 plays out of every 7 plays is probably a play from scrimmage. That's higher than what I thought. And then I, you know, talking to Bill Connolly, and he, we talked a little bit about it, and he wrote something on his article on ESPN about it. He's the guy that has SP Plus, for those who don't know Bill Connolly. And he said, well, there are 38 first downs outside the last 2 minutes of each half, and a certain amount go out of bounds. And he came up with 5.3% of the game less.
Wow.
It's going to cut 3.2 minutes off of a 60-minute game, 5.3%. But 5.3%, well, now we're talking like 7 plays from scrimmage, which is a lot lower. I'm like, man, I mean, so it could be anything. Like, I use my 4.4 plays less because that's what I came up with initially, and the average total of these week 0 and week 1 games is 52.6 points, which is lower than last year's 54.8 average scoring and 54.3 in regulation last year, you know, if you exclude overtime. So they went down to 52.6, the market did. Me using my 4.4 plays lower came up with 51.9 as my average total in the week 0, week 1 game. So I'm like, okay, I'm close to the market, I'm below it. But if you believe in, like, Bill Connolly and this guy from the rules committee who think it's going to be more like 6 plays a game, that's going to get you down to 50 points instead of the average total of 52.6. So we're going to find out real soon. But I wouldn't be playing many overs in the first week. I mean, I have a couple on my radar. I'm like, maybe I won't be doing that one.
If your instinct is to go over, that might be that might not be the proper instinct. What do you?
Yeah, maybe you play less on that game or something. But if you kind of like an under to begin with, well, then you maybe have extra reason to like the under, because I thought I was being pretty conservative, and I'm 0.7 points lower on average than the average market total, and then there's reason to believe from two other sources that it could be even lower than that, down to 50. Points per game. So, yeah, I would certainly be leaning under on most games.
By the way, I don't say it enough, which is I love that you have the humility of for those who don't, haven't been with us with Dr. Bob for years, he has his math models, which he's tinkering with a lot through the years. And then he has his technical analysis, which we kind of know as trends, which he, doesn't use sacredly or anything, but it's part of his analysis. And some years, by the way, it really does matter. Those are more accurate than the model and vice versa. But I love that you are humble enough to say, well, this is not infallible. Let me talk to some other smart people as well, because that's always great input to have. So you just sort of checks and balances in your process.
Yeah, I'm not a handicapper that looks at other people's picks. Like, I don't care. I respect the guys at Right Angle Sports, as I should, and anybody should, and they respect me. They're not going to not play something. I don't know. I assume they're going to do what they do. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have some impact, but I'm not going to change any play that I have based on what they did. I do what I do, and so I don't really look at whether the handicappers play, and that's not going to faze me.
Hey, Bob,
I do have enough confidence that I'm going to believe in my process, but yes, when it comes to stuff like that, I want experts.
Can you hang out a couple more minutes? Because I want to follow up with how long you think the market would adjust to something like this. It's Bob Stoll on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walters sat down with Brent Musburger for an exclusive interview, and the only place to see it is on VSiN. Billy reveals his systems for betting the NFL, shares some unbelievable betting stories, and gives the details on Phil Mickelson's gambling. Oh, yeah. Including trying to bet on an event he was playing in, by the way. Check it out. The interview's Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, exclusively here at VSiN. It's Gil Alexander. Dr. Bob Stoll, kind enough to join us for a couple seconds. I say kind enough, but I did the bad radio form thing where the clock was ticking down. Like, hey, Bob, could you stick with us for another second? Okay, great. Bye. Still, he didn't have a chance to say no. Bob, we appreciate you sticking around. I just read a Billy Walters promo. What, have you had interaction with Billy Walters in the past?
Oh, yeah. Billy was a client of mine back in the 2000s. He was one of the first people who realized that I was good. And before, the line started moving and all that stuff, he was on and he subscribed to my service. He'd call every year, Dr. Bob, this is Billy. Man, I'd like to get the subscription again. And, and it's super nice, like charming, Kentucky accent. Yeah, he would call every year and sign up for my service every year. Why don't you come out? I'll send a plane, come out and play my golf course, there was, one year, I forget what year it was, and somewhere in the mid-2000s, after I'd had that, those ridiculously great college football seasons, he sort of said, hey, I'm interested in maybe having you come for work for my organization. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Did you consider it for even a second? Did you think about it even for a day?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not really. I know I could have made more, I could have made more right off the bat. And I was like, yeah, then I lose my autonomy. I lose, then I just don't want to work for anybody else.
Okay, so, I want
to. But yeah, always a very polite, super charming guy when I talk to him on the phone every year.
Yeah, it's that is apparent to all who come in contact. I want to harken back to what we were talking about the previous segment. I want to ask you some other things in college football. Just the question about, the instinct with the totals that we were just talking about and the clock moving outside of 2 minutes. Juxtaposed against what Bill Connolly had to say, what a college football official had to say, how long would you suspect? Like, if we find out that in week zero is obviously a truncated schedule, but if we find out week one as well, that, these are trending, further under than the market has adjusted for, do you think that'll be an immediate adjustment week two, or do you think it takes a few weeks?
Normally, it might take a few weeks, and we talked about it a couple years ago. I came on talking about something with returning starters and how that affected totals. That might take longer. This one, I think people are looking for week one data to make an immediate adjustment. So I don't think this will take long. I think after the first week, they're going to say, okay, this is the scoring in week zero / week one. I think it's going to be quick this time, whereas a few years ago when I discovered something I thought was interesting about totals, it took a few weeks before it was fully integrated. But I think this time people are looking for it, you know, and they're going to trust the data they get right away.
I remember a couple years ago, because you trigger this memory, which is, I think it was post-COVID, a lot of returning starters, and when there's a lot of returning starters, offense and defense, it tends to make the defensive numbers that much more reliable.
Right. So I've kept track of returning data for all these years and have projections based on, you know, part of my algorithm for doing what I do for my priors. And I did the 21 ratings, and I was like, God, these defenses are improved a lot. So let's say the average returning starters was like 8.5 per offense, 8.5 at 11 on defense. Well, having 8 or 9 returning starters on defense is relatively better than having 8.5 or 9 returning starters on offense. Continuity on defense matters more than it does on offense. And so what I found was all my defensive ratings were much improved, whereas the offensive ratings were not as improved. And I was coming up with predicted totals that were 2 points, two to two and a half, 3 points lower than the previous season. I thought, God, that's interesting. I came on your show and I mentioned it before the season started.
I remember.
And I didn't act on it enough, but I think that first week it was like 65% unders. And that year, I remember in 2020, the average scoring in college football was 57.4 points. In 2021, it was 54.0. It went down 3.5 points per game in 21 because of all the returning starters on defense mattering more than all the returning starters on offense. And that first week, I mentioned on your show, and I bet more unders that first week, but I didn't bet that many. If I would have bet them all, it would have been fantastic.
Ah, silly Bob. Silly Bob.
Yeah, and then the next week, I think it was more like 52.5% under, and then 53%, and then the next week after that, it was maybe 52, and then the market adjusted. But
so then, Bob, it begs the question: then heading into the 2023 season, is there something, not maybe perhaps not similar to that, but something, some kind of trend, not in the trend way that we think of trends betting wise, but is there something you're noticing that could help us with our handicapping heading into this season?
Yeah, there's something I noticed. I don't know if it's going to help with handicap. I don't know how, whether it's going to be picked up on or not. But so I do these adjustments. I take take transfers into account. And I kind of value the transfers. And I thought, God, there's been a lot more cherry picking. A lot more plucking of star players from group of five teams that moved to Power Five teams more than ever. And I thought, wow. And then when I did my ratings, I noticed there's a bigger variance between the better teams and the worst teams than normal. So I don't know if that's going to mean that big favorites are going to cover more in the non-conference season or not, but there's a bigger difference between the better teams and the worst teams this year than any year I can remember in a long time. And that's a lot of it is because the star players from the group of fives have been taken up, been plucked away by the power five teams. So that's something to keep an eye on. The worst teams are worse and the better teams are better.
I used to say it about baseball, the ever increasing chasm between the haves and the have nots. Maybe that is happening in college football. Maybe we'll see it as something we can exploit betting. We shall see. I did something that you're not going to approve of, which is you had this NFL betting trend for years. There was a set, and then there was a subset of the set which you wouldn't tell us was even better record. I remember, but it was about teams coming off a loss week one of the preseason that were taking on teams coming off a win in week two of the preseason, and it was just this remarkable ATS record for the teams that were coming off the loss in that situation. But that was during the 4-game arc of a preseason, and we could sort of count on a meter of how all 32 teams played this, specifically that, yes, they played most of the starters in week three, they sat everybody week four, but also just, these coaches wanted to get a W if they lost in week one.
In week two.
in
right,
week two.
Lost week
correct.
One, right.
Correct. Now we're three. It's a three-game arc. This started last year, and we basically put that to bed. So the thing that I did was irresponsible. I just went back to look just in case, right? I was like, let me just see if this went off the rails last year in week two, and it did. By the way, it was 2-3 ATS in that situation. So I'm guessing you didn't even bother looking, and this is pronounced dead. Yes, forever.
Didn't even look. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once I went to three games, I was like, well, that trend no longer applies because now everybody's going to treat week two, the second preseason game, a little differently.
Did you want to share with us now that it's dead what that subset was, or are you still not telling us?
No, I don't, because I threw that note away. I had it on
stop it, Bob. Come on, you know what it is.
I went through my index cards. I was like, I don't need this trend anymore. I tossed it. I don't know what the subset was.
Was there anything in the sports betting calendar?
It was really great. It was something like 65-13.
I remember.
Release them every year in your show, and there was something like 18-6 or something ridiculous. Like the 7 or 8 years I released them to clients, and mostly and a lot on your show, they continued to win at a super high rate.
Yeah. By the way, I looked this year. I'm like, oh, there's 8 teams that apply. But then I looked at last year. I'm like, it's over. Let me ask you this, because we'll have 90 seconds. Is there anything in the sports betting calendar, pro football, college football? You do NBA, obviously. You have folks with you who do all kinds of sports. Is there anything in the sports betting calendar that had that reliable of a trend at a given point that you can think of off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's a conference tournament angle that I have. The trend is something like, when I found it, it was good. It was really good. It was a conference tournament trend. And it's now something like 505 wins and 242 losses or something like that against the spread going back like 30 years.
For NCAA conference tournament week, yeah.
Yes, and it just almost wins every single year.
Specifically small conferences, or was it the bigger conference?
No, it's both. Okay. It worked a little bit better in the smaller conference, the first week of the conference tournaments, but it worked both weeks of the conference tournament. And this last year was one of the first years I did not win in the conference tournament. Usually March is really good for me, and this last year in March I had a great season, and then March I lost, which is sort of sad, but I still had a really good season, but it's kind of like, a lot of people jump on in March because I've always done really well in March in conference tournaments in the NCAA. And then I'm having a great season. Everybody's really fired up, and I get more people following me. And then all of a sudden, I had my first losing March in memory. I don't remember the last time I lost in March.
It's very disappointing. Yeah, it's like that's a lock to happen. Bob, always great to chat and get a window into your head. We will talk college football season win totals with you next week.
All right. Great. Looking forward to it.
My man, Dr. Bob, at drbobsports.com, at drbobsports on the old Twitter machine. Coming back with Jason Weingarten, Under a Cloud of Smoke. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up today for $199. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl, or join us for $19 for the first month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy as well, back from his vacation/ailments. Sam Howell named in what is not breaking news at all, Ron Rivera naming Sam Howell the starting quarterback of the Washington Commodores.
You pumped?
Well, I mean, who knew this was happening? I'm pumped because I think, again, he was a fifth-round draft pick. Remember that before that college football season, before his senior year, how many college football experts did we have on this network come on and say Sam Howell's winning the Heisman? And it didn't happen. So Skins think they got a great steal in him. He threw all of 11 forward passes last year in the last game against Dallas. Dallas had nothing to play for. But, people were super psyched about it. And he's their guy. Jacoby Brissett is one of the best backups in the league, so Jacoby Brissett is in camp as well. He's on the team. But Sam Howell is your starter in Washington, and as Steve Fezzik chimed in earlier, he thinks Washington will end the Ravens' 24-game winning streak in the preseason this coming Monday night in D.C. Or not in D.C., but in Raljohn, in Landover. So there you go.
We'll see. You know how much I love my boy Jacoby Brissett.
You're staring at me with one of those, I'm not buying a damn thing about Sam Howell expressions. That's all I got from your thought bubble.
I think it was pretty well said.
I was like, is he going to save?
Hey, man, as a friend, I'm rooting for. I hope he does great. I don't know how much of a believer.
I'm just telling you, Daniel Snyder's not the owner. It's all that matters. It's already a win.
Oh, I hear you.
It's already a win. Even if they go 3-14. Well, maybe not 3-14, but you know what I mean. Can't wait. The post-Snyder era begins with Sam Howell as your starting quarterback. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. You went to that Rams preseason game last week, didn't you, Jason?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I have tickets for the Rams Raiders game tomorrow night too. I'll probably go check that out.
Are you a Rams guy? Because are we willing to share? You have someone in the family who's with the Rams. Yes, is that the case?
Yeah, I like going to Rams games. They're local.
Okay. I didn't think I would
like football in LA, but it's turned out to be a lot of fun going to as many of the games as I can.
Yeah. SoFi's great. I went to a K-pop concert at SoFi a few months ago with my girls, Gracie, and we had a great time there. Beautiful venue, and that much more beautiful for football. Do you bet the Rams in these games, in these preseason games at all?
I bet the over last week, and it flew over. Probably going to be similar again. I think this is one of the games you can bet the over on. You can't just blindly bet overs this week like you can the first week, but there's still some spots, some good preseason spots. Preseason tends to actually be pretty lucrative betting-wise.
Yeah, it actually does, and you can actually see games unfold as well. If you happen to be sitting in front of a TV and not distracted by life's other responsibilities, what did you do baseball-wise today? Full slate of Major League Baseball.
Just one play for me today. I got the Guardians 117, Gavin Williams. Although I do have my eye on the Phillies game. I think this is Lorenzen's first start since the no-hitter. And I do like to fade guys coming off no-hitters, even if it is the Washington Nationals. You're getting, you know, over plus 150 here. So it's definitely something I got my eye on. But not much baseball today. I got my eye on the football and some golf today, mostly.
What's your goal? By the way, Michael Lorenzen trying to become Johnny Vandermeer today, right? Trying to do back-to-back no-nos. But you're saying, nope, that's not happening. I'll go the other way.
No, not much. Gil, I lost you for a second there. I didn't hear your question. I apologize.
Oh, no. I was just saying, what did you do golf-wise?
Oh, golf-wise? Nothing super exciting. Most of my money's on the Euro Tour. I have Alex Fitzpatrick, who I think's three shots off the lead right now. It's Matt Fitzpatrick's younger brother. And then there's a women's tournament also playing the same course in Northern Ireland. I got my eye on a couple things there, but not much. There's, you know, not many big names playing this week in either of the European tours. There's an Asian series or whatever they're calling it event. Asia Tour International Series in England. I would have actually bet that, but nobody had odds for it.
Hey, how did that game go the other day you were on here? You were saying you were laying like 37 points in a basketball game.
Oh, they won by like 50. It was actually funny. Last night, Irvine played Iran, the country. And there was no line. Like, nobody would put up a line. They put up a total, but nobody wanted to put up a line, I think. Irvine won like 86 to 47 or something. Blew him out.
Beautiful thing. That would be 39. That would be just squeaking through on that one.
Yeah, they beat Taiwan by like 50. That
gotcha.
Game before. This okay. game, I didn't even stay up to watch this game. I thought better of it.
So beyond that, have you added any baseball, you know, length of season, remainder balance of season bets, anything at all?
I bet a little bit on, I think I mentioned this last time, I bet the Marlins to miss, sorry, not the Marlins, the Rays to miss the playoffs.
Yes, 12-1.
Got 13-1 there.
13-1, pardon me.
And then I'm kind of annoyed with myself. I've written and talked about Tristan Casas many times, that I like him He was a sleeper pick of mine last year. Didn't do anything with him this year. He's come on really strong. He's down to like 3.5 to 1 or 3.6 to 1. Gunnar Henderson's still the front runner for rookie of the year, but he's not running away with it. He might be the favorite, he might be odds on, but certainly not running away with it. I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't get any Tristan Casas. I did, however, bet some Josh Young, got as high as 85 to 1 at FanDuel. He's down to about 35 to 1. He's gonna have a chance to come back, play about the last 10-12 games of the season. Maybe he can do something. He did play pretty well. Like, he deserves some consideration, but the injury just kind of kills him. But I thought 85 to 1, 45 to 1 were decent numbers for some kind of insurance against Henderson. But this race is shaping up to be interesting.
Did you end up betting Casas at all? We're talking about the Red Sox, Tristan Casas.
The only thing I bet on Casas was before the season. I bet his over like 17.5 home runs. He's at 20. So that's nice. I actually have won already all my 4 preseason overs on home runs and stolen bases. The only one I have left that's still up in the air is Masataki Yoshida over like 15.5. I think he's at 12. I'm not really expecting him to hit 4 home runs, more home runs, but you never know. But I'm happy with the 4 others I got.
With the Casas thing, does your mind, like, I know we do this in sports betting, the way our brains work, do you immediately sort of toggle to this sort of strange root against him in a certain way now since you didn't capitalize on it? Is that what your brain, what happens to you?
Kind of. It's more that every time I see like the Red Sox scored a run, I just assume that like Casas had something to do with it. And I'll go and look, at the box score, be like, oh, look, he hit another home run. Oh, look, he did something. And I'm kind of like, man, but I'm not like angry at him. I'm just more annoyed with myself. Cause even as recently as like a week or 10 days ago, you're still 16 to 1, which is a, much better bet. You can't bet him now at like 3.5 to 1, really. I mean, wouldn't do anything.
Let me ask you about this though, because for the folks who are thinking about backing you on a raise bet to miss the postseason, perhaps not at your number, but close to it relatively. The Wander Franco thing, which you and I haven't discussed here on air, which is obviously, like, if these allegations are true, oh my goodness, right? Because it some of the allegations are it's beyond one person. If that's true, he may never play Major League Baseball again, let alone this season. And I wonder, like, was there an inkling of your bet, not to inartfully, toggle that to a bet, but this is the industry we're in, and bets are made for all kinds of reasons. But was there a sliver of that in your thing where it's like, well, okay, if that happens, you got this guy on your team. What a sort of mental distraction that is. Or was that not part of it at all for you?
I didn't think so much the mental distraction angle. I think, professional athletes have the ability to block that out when they're on the field. It's not going to necessarily impact their performance. But the thing that worries me, it's just sort of, the reality, we've talked already at length the pitching issues, but now you're taking away a 5-war shortstop.
Yeah.
It's a lot to overcome. Not impossible, but it's a hill to climb, especially when you have teams like the Orioles, ahead of you all of a sudden.
How about those Orioles? Jason, always a pleasure, man. Good luck with all the bets this weekend. Enjoy.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we got some winners to talk about.
Absolutely. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia on the old Twitter machine. We'll come back. Some golf thoughts from Kelly and beyond. Your weekend in sports. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Use the BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, simply log into your BetMGM account today to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There's no deposit or additional wager required. 72 hours to log in to claim and to use the bonus bet after you log in. This bonus bet is on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Promotional offer may differ per customer. 21 and over to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offers not available in Kansas City, Mississippi, Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPENY. That's Hope, New York. Or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel, this offer is not valid to Puerto Rico residents. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house as well on a numbers game here at the South Point. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Michael Burns, Gil doing a live read for NRFI. Priceless. I'll just leave that standing. So perceptive. Listeners are so perceptive on this show. Nash, at last name Nash. Dr. Bob only doing 200 hours of college football homework? Seems like he's losing his edge. Tim Bowers.
I can't even imagine.
I get the college clock changes affecting the totals with possible more insets early in season, but would the change also make it easier for teams to cover since there'll be less opportunities for trailing teams to mount comebacks to cover? Well, he talked a little bit about the increasing chasm between the haves and the have-nots, so a little bleed over on that. Kev William, at Camaro Split 71. Okay, Gil, maybe if you share with Dr. Bob your secret sushi place, he'll share that preseason model. Yeah, you might be right. And this is from a last name Nash as well. He goes, there has to be nothing that gives you more anxiety than when the music starts playing for a hard out and Bob's in the middle of an answer or talking point. It's like, you guys.
It's like you work here.
Are you O's the mentalists? Who are you? By the way, Crack trying to get O's back on, Kelly.
Crack is?
Crack is.
All right, cool.
And Chance Copperpot, that segment was perfect for me on American League Rookie of the Year. I have Jung and Yoshida and was wondering what you all thought of Henderson. I also do believe he is not running away with it. Thanks for your thoughts from under that cloud of smoke, Jason. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We were going to have our buddy Jordan Sherwood on the show today to talk UFC 292. He couldn't make it. Some family matters. But I don't know if, you know, we always talk about this irresponsible betting Saturdays. Kelly, are you betting any UFC 292?
Oh, man, I've barely bet anything over the past few days. No, I doubt I will be, but it is a big card tomorrow night. You got Sterling. Finally, Sterling and O'Malley going on. It feels like Sean O'Malley hasn't fought like a big-time opponent ever in his entire career, it feels like.
Yeah.
Right now at DraftKings, Sterling minus 258, Sean O'Malley plus 210, 3.5 your total on that fight. I mean, it should be a great card. You got two championship fights on there. Marlon Vera, Chris Weidman back in the octagon there tomorrow night. So should be a good one. I'll probably be watching it. I don't know how much I'll be betting it.
Aljamain Sterling, Aljo, and Sugar Sean O'Malley, bantamweight. I guess we heard a lot of people sort of saying Sean O'Malley has what we say in boxing is a puncher's chance, but really a kicker's chance, perhaps in this one.
Exciting fighter.
But that he's been moved along. This is, you know, when you watch the ESPN sort of profile on these guys, Dana Young has moved him along for this opportunity. And that is a point of contention with Sterling. Like, he's not happy about that. Calls him what did he call Sean O'Malley? An ugly mole rat. I don't know what that is. That's what he called him. Just wanted to get that
Sterling,
quote.
The last time he won, I saw him. You know how we joke about Carrot Top around here, right?
Yep.
Like, if you live in Vegas long enough, you're going to run into Carrot Top.
You do run into him. Yes.
I ran into Aljamain Sterling twice holding his belt, like, in the 2 weeks past his after winning.
Wait, oh, so he was still holding his belt?
Like, he was out and had his belt.
I respect that.
You do? Okay, because I didn't. I was like, dude, that was like 2 weeks ago. Jeez, leave it at home.
Well, he beat Henry Cejudo a few months back, split decision. So he is a huge favorite
I think that's what fight it was, yeah.
Well, yeah, he was proud of that, that's for sure. And as you say, sort of just the other ones on this.
And real quick, like, you know, on the O'Malley thing, mm-hmm. Gil, like, I think it's a... No matter how you feel about that with sports, I think there are certain sports that when you're talking individual, not team sports, and some of these, and I think boxing and UFC are perfect examples that are so star power driven that you have to, like, the UFC's been around long enough where they've seen the waves of you know, excitement from fans when they have superstar athletes at the top. And they've seen what those ratings do when they don't. And I think they've been around long enough to see both sides of it. I have no problem with some of these leagues kind of grooming those guys into positions to be superstars if they think that's what it needs. If they think they just can't come in right away.
Economically, right.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Because the worst thing that you can happen is build up someone, build them up. They win one fight, and then they go to fight their next, and they lose.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything you've done to brand that and market that person is out the window.
So you're just saying take them to the top immediately to avoid all
no,
that?
No. I'm saying no matter how, whichever way they think is best to handle that so they don't lose out long term on that guy's potential, I'm very much okay with that.
Yeah, so Sugar Sean is the one that has catapulted to this match perhaps well before is merited on in what happens inside the octagon. But this is Sterling, and again, just sort of anecdotally, folks saying kicker's chance for Sean O'Malley early, but if not, Sterling ought to handle it. He is the -265 favorite. Amanda Lemos against Weili Zhang. Zhang, a huge -350 favorite. She's supposed to dominate there as well. And then on the prelims, Chris Weidman and Brad Tavares was the other one that most folks are talking about. Tavares is the Hawaiian Weidman who has dealt with injuries. Tavares, a -270 favorite. So there are creative ways to bet these, but it feels like, in terms of if you were just doing money lines, feels like a chalk fest.
Yeah, could be.
Could be.
Can we do some NBA hot goss?
Yeah, please. I like NBA hot goss. Hot goss with Kelly Bidlin.
If you were like, hey, Kelly, what have you really been following the past like week and a half?
Hot goss.
Hot goss at the NBA. No, but like this James Harden stuff. Yeah. You know, it's never ending. It's we've turned
who's
three times.
Whose side are you on? Are you on Daryl Morey's side or are you on James Harden's side?
Neither one of them. Yeah. Like, I don't really. James Harden's so hard to figure out because how many times have you and I talked about, like, we think he's smart when he gets ahead of the curve and gets out of Brooklyn before the whole thing falls apart. But then, like, he can't keep himself on a team just like some of these other guys can't. I think this is interesting, and there are betting markets, right? We talk about that next team stuff, and that has been, it's updated and back out there because James Harden claims he's not playing for the 76ers anytime soon, and that Daryl Morey claims they're not trading him anytime soon. So this has kind of evolved to where we're at a stalemate. Now, remember, I think this is the perfect reminder, pro tip reminder, when you see these markets listed, it is where does this guy play his next minute?
Minutes.
Not his next team, not his next minute. Because I think we're almost at the point where it's almost guaranteed he's starting the season with the Sixers.
Yeah.
Unless they figure out something here, you know, in the next couple months pretty quick.
So +350, you're making a bet?
No. I'm saying I'm not betting that because I got to remember, where is he playing his first minute? I also don't think – I think this Clippers price, though, is insane right now.
No
way. Like, you can't bet. They already went through trade talks with them, called off trade talks with them. The Clippers are not in a situation where they're desperate enough to keep going back and begging for James Harden. So I just don't really know if I foresee that. All I'm saying is I think this is a market you could have some longer shot fun in with right now. There are two teams that I talked about earlier, win totals, that I'm playing under – that I think are going to make some sense with. Bulls, Raptors, they're both looking to unload talent, shape up these teams, shift them up a little bit somehow. Those two teams could make some sense. All I'm saying is there's some longer shots in this market right now. I think you could make a better case for today than we could have a month ago.
Definitely don't bet the Clippers in -280 and be prepared. Even if it ended up the Clippers, be okay with not being a part of that.
Yep. No, and I know there's a lot of people who are going to say Sixers, like, is he really going to sacrifice money and not play games? Gil, if there was anybody in the NBA, like, James Harden's in the top five players of, I think he would actually lose money to not play games.
You know how you looked at me when I was talking about Sam Howell? That's how I'm looking at bet you back about this. Like, honestly, and it's part of it's because we can't bet it here. It's not available to us here. But it's like, I'm so, like, would I bet this if it were available to me? I don't know that I would. I'm so over the drama of it. Land where you might, James.
All I'm saying is look long shot or nothing.
I would agree with that. Chris Kirk is 3-under through 5 today, so he's taking the lead at the BMW Championship, second leg of the FedEx Cup, 2-stroke lead over both Rory and Brian Harman, who have yet to tee off. Any in-tournament bet that you like here?
You know what? No, a couple matchups I was looking at today, though, I'd be fading Sungjae and Adam Svensson if you can find those available. Great putting performances from them yesterday. Rest of the stats didn't look all that great. Lucas Glover, I'd be looking to play on him if I could. Putted horribly yesterday. We haven't seen that the past couple weeks.
Good to have you back, man. Even if it was me trying to get closer to your nose and stomp on your nose in the first segment. Kelly's back on Monday. Matt Brown will be in this chair. I'm taking a couple days off. Go see my mommy. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.